with wine. But on the other hand, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Everything, listen, and I believe the devil invented wine and alcohol. The devil invented that stuff. Everything that God has, the devil tries to make a counterfeit for. God has something that will do the same as wine and drugs do. I've been high before and never taken drugs. About three sheets to the wind on the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I've been high. I've been hurting and got healed, got touched. I'm not just talking physically, but I've been emotionally hurting, and God gave me something and felt like I'm okay now. I'm all right. Antidepressants. God has some antidepressants. It's called the Holy Spirit. Everything God has, the devil tries to make a counterfeit for it, but listen, you don't have hangovers from the Holy Spirit. I mean, you get, J.E. Glass and Earl Hughes got pulled over once for being three sheets to the wind on the Holy Spirit. Amen. They just came from a camp meeting, and they're shouting, praising God in the car, and they did get pulled over. Amen. And it took forever to talk that policeman in the... Amen. But as a whole, you probably stay out of jail if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. As a whole. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. Well, what do they call it when they pull you over and take you in? They say you were under the influence. Don't be under the influence of alcohol. But be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Do you know drunk people don't try to look drunk? They don't even work at it. It just comes natural. Amen. Drunk people, they don't work on being happy. They're depressed. They go into a bar. After three drinks, they say, okay, now I'm going to be happy because I've had three drinks. No, after three drinks, they just feeling no pain. Amen. Amen. They don't have to work at it. A drunk person don't have to work on staggering. They ain't work on that. They don't even practice staggering. Amen. Once you get drunk, it's just easy to do. It's easy to do. Nobody has to practice that. My uncles, my great uncles, we'd have family reunion, and we'd all eat and homemade ice cream, watermelon in a big old wash tub with ice in it. Amen. Hallelujah. We'd have them and food too. But amen. Us kids went right to the watermelon and the ice cream. And, but we'd eat it. And then us young guys would play softball. And our daddies would play horseshoes. And my great uncles would walk across the street down to the Cumberland River there in Nashville. And they'd have this square bottle in their pockets. They'd go over that hill, go down by that Cumberland River. I don't know what they did down there. But after a while, you could hear them singing. They were singing. And usually singing gospel songs. Amen. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land, or I saw the light. They finally come up, and they were laughing and had their arms around each other and singing, and they just had a jolly old time. They didn't even work on that. Just somehow when they sit on that riverbank and with them little square things in their back pocket, that somehow they found themselves out of this pocket, amen. And they got under the influence, and all of a sudden they got happy. They got happy. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I'm telling you, the same thing that alcohol does with problems afterwards. God has something that is pure and is good for you, and it won't hurt you, amen, and gives the same results. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's one of the evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The next verse. I preach revival meetings, and I've probably told you this before. I'll tell you again. I look for two things when I go to, especially a new church. Usually Sunday morning, I look for two things as an evangelist to know what their temperature is, to know how bad they need revival. The first thing I look at is the song service. I look at the song service. I don't know what there is about people during the song service that are thumbing through their Bibles. Amen. They're thumbing through the Bibles. They're not singing. They're thumbing through the Bibles. And then when the preacher gets up to preach, they start thumbing through their song books. I don't understand that. But what I look at, I look if people are singing. I look at people who are singing in the congregational singing. I look for that. If you're not singing in the congregational singing, you need revival. You're at least not filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to speak to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You're going to be singing. Now, how many here can't sing? Raise your hand. Amen. We appreciate it when y'all sing. I do. I love to get behind somebody that can't sing. I do. It blesses me. You know why it blesses me? Because I know they don't have pride. They're not trying to impress me, or they're not trying to be quiet enough where I can't hear them. They're singing to God. They're singing to God. And you know what God is? You know what He's doing up there where somebody can't sing? He said, boy, that sounds good. They're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's a sacrifice. I mean, if you're a good singer, it's not much of a sacrifice, amen. But if you can't sing and you offer it anyway, that's a sacrifice. And God's well pleased with sacrifices. I just don't want anybody to hear me. You're full of pride. You're full of pride. My voice might crack. Some of your face is about to crack. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you right now, get a life. Amen. Sing. But listen, I'll get to it later, but I'm just saying, if you're right here and you say, all right, for now I'm going to sing, you're not getting the message yet. If you're under the influence, you're going to sing. You don't need to decide, all right, from now on I'm going to sing. No, you need to decide right now. You're going to get full of the Holy Ghost. And did that scare anybody? Amen. It does call in both, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. They're the same guy. Amen. Amen. But you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you got this message yet? It's the will of God. It's God's will. God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be baptized. He wants you to belong to a local church. And He wants you to be under the influence. And some people may be upset because I made the comparison between being drunk and... I didn't make the comparison. God did. When Peter's preaching in the book of Acts, chapter 2, preaching at Pentecost, what's the first thing he had to cover before he even got to his message? Ye men and brethren, these men are not drunk with wine, whereas ye suppose. What were they doing? Singing. Singing. Amen. They're probably smiling, some of them. Some of them, oh, that's bad when you smile, man. Some of them probably smiling, amen. You know, smilers irritate me. I always wonder what they're up to. Amen. We need to get right with the Lord. We need to get under the influence. It's His will. Hey, don't be drunk of wine. Listen, most of you, if you believe the Bible, you know it's wrong to drink wine, don't you? Alcoholic, you know it's wrong. It's just as wrong. Same verse. Just as wrong not to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just as wrong. I mean, just as bad as it would be for me to come staggering in here, inebriated, and preach. You said, that's gasping. It's just as wrong for me to come up here not filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, listen, this is a spiritual book. Preaching is a spiritual thing. And listen, you ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You teach a Sunday school class. You lead the song reading. You do the song reading. I mean, that's worship. You're the worship leader. Amen. You're leading us in worshiping the Lord with these songs. Get your song book. Sing the songs. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Get ready for the message. Sing to the Lord. You know half the songs we sing, they're to the Lord. They're prayers. If you look at them, they're prayers. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou. We're singing to Him. Amen. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. You're singing to Him. The Bible says, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Hey, sing. But listen. Pay attention to what you're singing. Some of us, we read words off a page, we read Jesus' name off a page, and it doesn't even click. Well, we're just reading words off a page. You're taking His name in vain. Think about what you're saying. Boy, what a lovely name. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. And you can just say that name, just read it off a page, and don't even, you're thinking about the ball game, you're thinking about the Lakers, you're thinking about the job tomorrow. Be not drunk with wine, but be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. How do you know? Listen, it's pretty easy to know if somebody's under the influence of alcohol. Sometimes I watch those cops shows or whatever they are, you know, when cops pull people over. they try so hard to walk a straight line. They really do. They concentrate, you know, and their foot is just kind of moving around and moving around. And I'm thinking, bless their heart. It just if you time it just right, set it down. they try so hard. But listen, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But it's easy to tell if somebody's under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Don't you think it'd probably be easy to know if we're filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, granted, at Pentecost, those lost people didn't know why those people were acting like that. But they knew that wasn't normal. They knew it wasn't normal. And Peter did have to discuss, it's not wine, folks. They're dead. They're tipsy. They're happy. They're singing. Amen. But it's not wine. So wouldn't you think it'd be probably pretty easy to tell if we're not? If you're curious about it right now in your own life, ask your wife. Probably I'm not even going to ask mine. Ask your husband. Ask your kids. Ask your mom and dad. Mom and dad, do you think I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? How do you know? I've used this illustration here before in another message. But you ladies, I'll just get back here. Y'all don't need to listen to me. Was it sad? I know what you're full of. If we were back home, especially, it's hot right now, and it's going to get hotter. And there's no joke. Why did the chicken cross the road? You know the answer to that? Why did the chicken cross the road? To prove to the possum that it could be done. And then, possum, they just have a hard time getting across the road. And old dead possum on the side of the road, and the next day he's still laying there, but he seems to have gained some weight. I know he's not eating anything, but he's gained some weight. And if it's good and hot on that fourth day, I mean, there's no loose skin. There's not a piece of loose skin on that possum. I mean, he just fatter than he's fat. He's full of something. When I was a kid, I was very curious. I was very curious. I thought, wow, how did that happen? You know, and if you'll take a long stick and whittle a point on the end of it, I promise I'd stay back here. All right, and poke it. You find out what it's full of. Sometimes it's not all the same thing. I took Jimmy and John. I shot a deer with my bow, and so I went home and got Jimmy and John. They were, what were y'all, maybe 6 and 8, maybe something like that. And I said, this would be good. They'll get the track of deer through this cornfield, you know. So I went home, got Jimmy and John, took about in that cornfield, and we'd see blood on the stalk of corn. And here's some more, Daddy, over there. And it was getting dark. It was dark. It was already dark. Here's some over here, Daddy. We're tracking this deer through this cornfield. Finally, we find it laying there. And so then I took my knife out, and she was swelled up. And already, I mean, it's just been brief time, amen. She's all swelled up. And my boys are standing over there watching, you know, they're holding the light and they're watching. And I stick that knife in there and go, ooh. Now, that I'd never experienced that before. And they got to experience it with me. It was gas, amen. I mean, it stuck the whole cornfield up, amen. But I tell you what, I was curious when I got there what she was full of. I found out when I stuck that knife in there, amen. Hey, last time you got poked? Last time you got poked? What came out? Look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. If you were full of the Holy Spirit and you got poked, love would have come out. Let me just say this right now. That ain't natural. You have to be under the influence for love to come out. But if love didn't come out, we weren't in the will of God because we weren't filled with the Spirit. And let me say this again. When I said that, you say, okay, I do need to work on love. No, you're not getting the message yet. If you're under the influence, you don't have to work on it. You're going to be full of love. I mean, when you got poked, love was going to come out. Not unnatural, but love was going to come out. Joy. Joy. You got poked, joy was going to come out. If you were filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you again. Last time you got poked, did I ask that before? I asked that before, didn't I? Last time you got poked, what came out? Were you in the will of God? Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Sounds like joy to me. Well, preacher, you're right. I'm weak on that joy part. Don't work on joy. You see, you're trying to treat the symptom. That's not what's wrong. The problem is not that you don't have joy. The problem is that you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, which produces joy. Let's get to the root of the problem, folks. You're not in the will of God because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? How do drunk people get drunk? They drink. It's a conscious thing they do. When's the last time you consciously asked God to fill you with the Holy Spirit? Well, I asked Him 10 years ago and He did. And you have leaked too. Yes, you do. It's not a one-time deal. I mean, listen, drunks don't just go to the bar, take one drink, and they're drunk the rest of their life. A good drunk, brother, are you listening? A good drunk is a regular customer. I mean, he can't get enough of it. If he can't get it at home, amen, he'll get it at the. My uncle drank cologne. Cigarette lighter. Oh, yeah, he was an alcoholic. Cab driver in Nashville, Tennessee, and finally, he just couldn't afford it anymore, so he moved his family up to Kentucky so they could get shine. Cheap. That's the only reason he moved to Kentucky. I mean, he had to have it. He wanted it every day as often as he could get it. We don't even think about it as a Christian. It don't even cross our minds through the day. Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, boy, when we get poked, something gets evident, don't it? Love, joy, peace. You ever get poked and peace come out? More usually, the opposite. Agitation. I looked it up in the dictionary. Peace. One of the definitions of peace was freedom from agitation. Well, that gets us fundamental Baptists, don't it? King James Bible believing. We love fighting. We love contention. We love starting fights. Let me tell you something right now. I don't like starting fights. I don't even like getting in one when somebody else starts it. I don't. I like peace. I mean, if I had my choice, I like peace. When I was a kid, I had fights, but I did everything I could to get out of it. I don't like fights, man. I beat a guy up one day, but he still flattened my nose. Well, you know, I've not seen one skunk that I can't whip. But it just ain't worth it. Peace. Hey, man, why do we have to fight all the time? I mean, there's some things so... Hey, mom, husband and wife, most of... Now, you just... Come on, be honest now. And don't poke each other. Amen. Most of the... disagreements. I won't say arguments. Most of the disagreements that you have with each other, it's over stupid stuff. The stupid stuff. We're just like kids. I had a pastor over in Virginia. Just started pastoring a church. Had never counseled anybody. Some people in the church need marriage counseling. They got married when they were 40 years old. They had never been married before. And they were both only children. They both had had their way for 40 years. And now all of a sudden there's somebody else in their house. It was like kindergarten kids going at it. Oh, but she did. But he did it. But she did. I think, come on, children. I mean, they were older than me. But I'm thinking, this is kindergarten stuff. What is that peace? Now, this is not a couple's retreat. But I'll just try to help you a little bit. Men, I know we're the man of the house. And I know we're supposed to call the shots. And we're supposed to be the alpha male and just... If it's between being right over something stupid and getting sugar, I choose the sugar. Now, you can just stand on your principles all you want to and not get sugar. I didn't marry my wife to get right, be right. I didn't marry my wife so I could boss somebody around. I married my wife for sugar! I'm stupid if I try to stand on my principles and don't get sugar. We all right with that? Everybody okay? Peace. I like peace. I was in a fellowship hall and these guys were arguing at the pulpit. There's a pulpit in the fellowship hall and they were arguing. And I walked up there and both of them thought I would take their side. And they were arguing whether Moses was born again or not. Y'all know what I'm talking about, you know, that dispensation, you know, did he have the Holy Ghost inside, da da da, and both of them, I had been in Alan Jones's church who don't believe that, and I was in Greg Easton's church and he did believe that, and they thought I'd take their I said, you what? And they said, oh, Moses was born again, and the guy said, no, you know, he looked towards the cross, and I said, y'all see where we are? We're in a fellowship hall. I said, you see that cake over there? You see that coffee over there? I'm going to go get me some. Amen. I said, I don't care how Moses and them got saved. I really don't. Whatever them and God got worked out, spying with me. Whatever they did. Tribulation. Hey, when tribulation period comes, I'm not going to hand out one tract. I'm not going to witness to one person in tribulation period. I mean, you say, well, how do you think they get saved? I'm not even curious about it. Because I ain't going to be here. I'm going to be gone, amen. I know how to get saved today.
That's right.
And if you come to me and say there's some other way to get saved today, we might lock horns. There won't be any peace. But any other thing, you can have your way about it. You want to say, you know, whatever. Moses got baptized and sprinkled. And that's how he got in? Well, praise the Lord. He got in by getting sprinkled and baptized. I don't care. Let's have peace. Last time you got poked. Love, joy, peace. Long suffering. Long suffering. How many times have you just, catch! I've had it! How many times have you moms said, all right, that's it, I've had it! Long suffering. Long suffering. Reprove! Rebuke! Here, pastors now. Reprove! Rebuke! Exhort! With all long suffering and doctrine. Some pastors, the people just don't grow fast enough for them. All long suffering and doctrine. Some kids don't grow up fast enough. And then we wish they wouldn't. Amen. I'm thinking, who taught these kids how to talk? They won't shut up now. Amen. Amen. All long suffering. It means to put up with for a long time. Preacher, I do have a problem with that. I mean, I got a short fuse and I need to work on long suffering. You still haven't got the message. Still haven't got it. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't help but love when you get poked because that's what's in there. That's just what comes out. Whatever's in there is going to come out. Joy is just going to come out. It can't help it. You don't have to work on it. It's just natural. That's what's going to come out. Peace is going to come out. He said, "What? There's no reason to have peace. The peace that passeth all understanding." You won't understand it. The people around you won't understand it. How many times have I stood at a coffin with the wife of the deceased, and she's encouraging everybody? She's encouraged people, and they're, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I appreciate your prayers. He was such a good man to me, and I appreciate him. I thank you for coming. I thank you for coming." And she's encouraging them. What's that piece of that? Grace. Long suffering. And there's five more. You want to preach on the other five? No, I'm not going to preach on the other five. You got the message. What are the other five? You want to read them for me, sis? One of y'all there? It's all right for a girl to read. Go ahead and read. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. What's next? Amen. Gentleness comes out. Faith comes out. Matthew said, if your child wants a piece of bread, will you give him a stone? If the child asks for a fish, will you give him a scorpion? He said, if ye fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that pass? How do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? It can't be that easy. That's what you said about getting saved too, Dean. You ask. I'm beginning to think and believe there's a lot of things we could have if we just ask. I was watching up at Cam's yesterday, watching Adrian Rogers preach. Of course, he's in heaven now. I got a friend that went there to his bookstore, and he happened to be there. So Rogers happened to be in the bookstore. My friend was a preacher, introduced himself to Brother Rogers. 2 years later, he went to a Wednesday night or Sunday night service there. 10,000 people there. He happened to go through the door that Brother Rogers was shaking hands. Brother Rogers called him by name. Called him by name. He said, "Brother, how did you remember my name?" He said, "Brother, when God gave me this church," he said, "it was too big for me. And I told God, if you give me this church, I'm going to know my members' names." So he said, "I asked God for a photographic memory." And he did. He just want to ask God to ask him, tell me the Holy Spirit. We just ask him. There could be one problem, though. We might already be full. Grant, amen? Might already be full of something else. So what's the obvious thing we need to do? First, if we get that stuff in there, we get it out. There's no room for all the Spirit in there or all that putrefying stuff in there. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, you're talking about putrefying, but you get the blood of Jesus Christ in there and get it all this sparkling clean, and when you get clean, say, "Now, God, fill me with all this." Start studying. You might start smiling. You might start saying. You might have some peace that passes all in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we love you and appreciate you. And just thank the Lord for the Word of God. Thank you for the blessing that is we have access to of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And no doubt, Lord, I know that I need to spend time with the altar, Lord. I want to get the bad stuff out first. But Lord, I pray right now that you would show us what's in there. If we don't remember when we got poked, Lord, remind us what came out. And God, help us to get it right. Help us get it clean. And Lord, I pray that as we do, and as you cleanse us with the blood of Jesus Christ, then, Lord, we can ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God, I desire to be filled with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and meekness and gentleness and faith and temperance. God, I desire that, but it's not natural, Lord. We know it's not natural. It has to be something that you put in there. So we're asking you to do it for in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. If you'd like to come to the altar, spend some time with the Lord, whatever your need is tonight.